As it is now, I've attempted to communicate with my relatives who live in the town. They don't want to hear from me anymore. I heard on this repeater 3 weeks ago a ham who used to live in Basel. I asked him, does he have any friends or relatives who live in the town? He says, yes, he does. I asked him to talk about it. Well, he got back to me a couple days ago, and he says, we can't discuss that subject. It is too delicate a subject in that town. If you live in that town and you don't have the exact same opinion of the other residents who want the antennas removed, you will be considered an outcast. If you do business in that town and you express an opinion, you will be considered an outcast. A lot of education is required. It's going to happen slowly. They need your help, in my opinion. There's no simple solution to this. And we shouldn't make jokes about them. These are sincere people protecting their children. That's a worthwhile cause. But somehow an erroneous myth got started, and it propagated like wildfire. Because the myth on the surface has the patina of reality. It has the sound of truth. You look at those massive antennas, they're right alongside of the school. It looks like cause and effect, open and shut case. I am convinced that it's wrong. If those transmitters put out 30 watts of power, and they're 200 feet away from you, as close as you can get, as a child in that schoolyard, you're getting the amount of thermal heating when the transmitter is on, equal to a 30-watt light bulb at 200 feet. They went out and hired an outside agency to do an investigation. They hired a consulting firm, paid good money. The consulting firm said it was safe. The residents don't believe their own consultant. They don't believe their own relatives who have a lot of radio experience. I'm one of them. Education is required. Go easy with them. But they need help, in my opinion. You guys may have a lot of... Don't belittle them, please. K2RIW listening.
S2EO, Jake, how does this affect hams in Basel and hams in big towers around the country?
There are no big towers in Basel. There are only a couple of hams in Basel. I know a couple of them. They keep very quiet on this subject because they know the majority opinion in the town on this very sensitive subject, this very delicate subject. They're afraid to express their opinion. It's going to take outside help. The residents of the town have already begun to circle the wagons, psychologically speaking. They think they are defending themselves against industry that installed those antennas. They are defending themselves against their own village government. They are defending themselves from the outside world of the county, the state, and the federal. And they think they need all of that defense. It's going to be a very slow process to bring them around to a more correct opinion. It is an erroneous myth they're responding to. They are misinterpreting the word radiation. When you read the few blogs that are still left that haven't been removed, the town used to have a beautiful website, the village had a beautiful website describing you could get a copy of the consultant's report, the consulting agency report. You can get a copy of a beautiful set of reports from the FCC. It all got removed from the village website. It's too delicate a subject, apparently. I got what the point I was going to make along these lines. You had another comment, Rich, go ahead.
Another comment.
Yeah, I'm wondering how this affects amateur operators around the country with big towers. It sounds like a witch hunt.
RBB2HWW and a comment.
Yeah, before Howie...
W. Olson.
Before Howie, there was another person that said comment. Who was that?
Yes, that was Tony, Whiskey2Whiskey.
Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, it's a very interesting subject. I've heard it before. I think there was a isolated incident here in Bay Ridge where they didn't want the same problem. It was too close to the school, so they thought... I mean, you're basically dealing with, it's viral, you know, you're dealing with ignorance that takes hold and a Luddite mentality, and basically, since they don't want to have a discussion there, it's like they're, the village people with torches. I mean, in Europe, you have the same thing with so-called Frankenfood, genetically engineered food, And you always have the crazy people who think we never went to the moon, that the World Trade Towers were struck, you know, on purpose. All these, it's a type of hoax. And yet, like you said, people don't like the word radiation. So unfortunately, we came up with that word, but like you said, it's very descriptive. And education is important. You are dealing with innumeracy at a certain level, and people become, older people become paranoid. And like I said, well, you said they're not even letting their kids have cell phones and not using their laptops. That's crazy. And there is so many other perils in life that this is certainly the bottom one-tenth of 1%. You know why? You shouldn't drive your kids in a car. I mean, you know, don't let them ride a bike. And on, you know. And, I told people here is that they're afraid of the cell phone side. First, they use corner reflectors, so it's away from the building, going outward. And, they give around here, or most places, they give the kids at the same time cell phones. And there's the square law with radio. I said, well, your kid's putting up against the head, even if there was a danger. It's ridiculous, because if it's right up against the head and it's dangerous, why are you comparing that to something on a roof of a building, and they're across the street or half a mile away? So that's what you're dealing with, and you have to, you told me about they removed information from their site. Well, one thing you could do is, when people do searches, Bayville, wherever you said it was, make up some sort of subpage on one of your repeater sites and make it so they find your page with that information. Back to you, Whiskey to Whiskey.
Yeah, that's a possible solution, Tony. But maybe that's a little bit too strong. It's going to take a very slow educational process. The townspeople are spending quite a bit of money with an attorney suing their own village officials in order to get the antennas removed because they shouldn't have been allowed in the first place. And they've been there for 15 years. Approximately. And all of a sudden, it all got started because 2 years ago, somebody was on top of the water tower making a change in one of the antennas. Somebody driving through the community looked at that and said, how did they get there? And they had been there for 15 years. And all of a sudden, they want them removed. You can't do that. I mean, the cat is out of the bag, so to speak. We're in the 21st century. Radio is our friend. It is far, in a way, more beneficial than detrimental. It saves an awful lot of lives. One of the websites has a blog that says, well, when we asked a Motorola official how many watts is coming out of that particular antenna, one time he answered 1 watt, and he was talking about the microwave antenna dish that's going to be set up to talk back to a 1 watt transmitter. It's going to talk back to the police headquarters. I think it's in Hicksville. And another official said, no, it's 5 watts, and maybe he was talking about effective radiated power. And so now the people in town are saying, see, they've been lying to us. It isn't one, it's five. It's five times more dangerous. Well, you could stand a foot in front of that microwave dish all day long, and the amount of heating you would be getting is equivalent to a 5-watt light bulb. Would you allow a 5-watt light bulb to heat your body from a couple of feet away? You'd have to climb up on top of the water tower and stand in front of the dish to get that exposure, but if you did, it would be safe. It's a strong misunderstanding of the physics. We all know, let me drop, the so-called inverse square law. Double the distance between you and a source of signal, whether it be a light bulb, a radio transmitter, your laser pointer, whatever. You double the distance between you and the source of signal, and you get 1/4 the power. If I compare a cell phone against my head, where the antenna is approximately 1/4 inch away, versus my house that lives directly next door, that resides directly next door to a cell phone base station, where the slant range between me and the antenna, and I'm not even in the beam width of the antenna, but let's assume I am. The slant range between me and that antenna is 200 feet. I compare 1/4 inch to 200 feet and square the ratio, and you end up with 10 million to 1. So therefore, but yes, the cell phone base station runs a little bit higher power than your cell phone in your hand. So therefore, when you look at the bottom line, the cell phone against your head gives you 1 million times more radio energy into your body than if you lived directly next door to the cell phone base station with all the antennas transmitting simultaneously. 1 million to 1. Of course that's opposite of common sense. That cell phone in your hand is a couple of ounce device that's small and it looks innocent. And the cell phone base station is 150 foot of very significant structure. It probably represents 5,000 or 10,000 pounds of material. It looks a lot more ominous. I understand that. But the signal that you really get into your body is a million times stronger from the cell phone than if you lived directly next door, or if you stood directly next door to the base station. The base station is not the danger. It's giving you the communication. It's one of the many antennas in the town that will save lives. You and I, without too much difficulty, can estimate the number of people who will perish in the town if there isn't good communication for emergency services, fire, law enforcement, and cell phones. Every one of those things save lives every day. Radio is your friend. We amateurs know that. Somehow we have to convey that to the people responding to a erroneous myth in the town of Bayville, in the township of Oyster Bay. It's got to be corrected. My understanding of human nature tells me it's going to take a long time, a long, expensive, not too pleasant experience is going to...
Repeater, time out.
Not too pleasant experience is going to happen before all of this is corrected. It's not going to go away. The residents are sincere. They think they're protecting their children. A worthwhile goal. I'm convinced this is not the right way to do it. Howie, I think you had a comment about this. Go ahead, Howie, K2LIW.
The comment is this, Dick. People are angry, not only at the towers. It isn't the RF. It's autonomy. People want to go back to a simpler life. Because if you were to tell these people, you know, that cordless phone you have in your house, that's dangerous. You're getting more energy from your cordless phone, that wireless thing. There are people out there who are saying that antennas on top of a water tower in a building can radiate the water. There are people who will not sign a lease if there's any radio equipment in the area, and there are people who are now don't even want to have Wi-Fi in the house. So there's a backlash against technology. This is not just science. This goes beyond. This is just to religion and whatever else. People are just angry, Dick.
Who we owe, Dick?
K-E-Y.
Rich and Mel in that order recognized. Yeah, they're angry, and yes, we've had problems with the economy in the last year and a half. This situation began more than 2 years ago. And my understanding of human nature leads me to believe it's going to take a number of years before this is corrected. It's going to require education. We have to educate the residents that the word radiation is not an emotional word. An error was created when we radio people described what it does. We should have called it radio signaling, radio transmission, radio propagation. With hindsight, we should not have used the word radio radiation because it gets associated with nuclear radiation, which is very different. For 60 solid years of research worldwide, and you can read the Radiologic Protection Board from the United Kingdom, you can read the IEEE American National Standards Institute C95 report, any of these very respected reports that have 450 references, 60 years of research by our best institutions, have not found any deleterious effects of radio. It's only thermal. There is no other non-thermal effect. They've been looking for it for 60 years. It's not there. The benefit of radio is so much higher than the detriment. To deny yourself that is trying to go back from the 21st century. You can't do that anymore. If a person truly decides to live a simple agrarian life, you have to go live with the Amish. There's almost no other way. We're in the 21st century. Radio is here to stay. It's not going to go away. The federal government, by way of the Communication Act of 1996, says you cannot tear away a cell phone base station because of a perceived risk of radio frequency biohazard. Our federal government has said, we've been down this road for 60 years. We're not going to listen to that anymore. maybe you can take away a cell phone base station because you say it's aesthetically not pleasing to the community. Maybe you've got to hide it behind shrubbery or whatever. But this, it does not create a biohazard, even though it's got the word radiation buried into it. You've got to stop using the word radiation. You've got to stop...
Repeater, time out.
We have to stop thinking that radio is bad. You will... People will die in the community if you succeeded in removing the antennas. And you can't put them at any other place in the community. You haven't got the money to afford it, and there's no other blank piece of property to put them on. To say I'm going to put them somewhere else is a overly simplistic opinion. And if you're going to put them in some other town, you're not going to get proper coverage of your town, and you don't care about the effects it has on the people of the other town. That's not a solution, even if there was a danger, and there isn't. Rich and Tuiel, go right ahead.
Okay, Dick, a couple of things. I think you have to go through Wikipedia and Webster's Dictionary and look, and give them the actual definition of the word radiation. I'll admit I haven't actually looked it up, but I think what it's going to say is to emanate from a car, what people call a car radiator. They mispronounce it. A radiator in a car is actually... mispronunciation. It's a radiator. What does it do? It radiates heat. That's what. So I think you have to look up the definition of radiation. Like you say, there's a big misconception there. And I'll give you another example of how ignorance sometimes reigns supreme. It reminds me of, I don't know, it sticks in my head. There was an episode in the 60s, you can probably Google it, I don't know, it's probably on the internet like anything else. If you remember Rod Serling with Twilight Zone, there was an episode entitled The Gift, and I'll, quick synopsis, this guy takes place in Mexico, this gentleman is very strange, he's running around with a box with a paper in it, which is a gift to society. They basically kill him, and at the very end of the story, a woman says that the gift is from the devil, and she partially burns it. And somebody reads the remaining part of the gift, and what does it say? The cure, the chemical compound for the cure to cancer is, and the rest was gone. Interesting parallel.
No, it's called religion.
Well, be careful now. You don't want to attack people's religion. That's a sensitive subject. We have religious freedom in the town, in the country. Also, when it comes to internet, you got to be careful. 90-some-odd percent, in my opinion, of the information you get on the internet is extremely good, very educational information. I particularly like every one of those Wikipedia articles. I seek them out. Even though in the past some of them have had some errors, but it's being peer-reviewed and corrected continuously, and it's getting better all the time. Unfortunately, some of the bad information on the internet can be selected if you want to be selective. There is a official of a college in France who has come to the conclusion that radio is dangerous, and a lot of individuals will quote him. He has been discredited by a number of organizations saying that the information he is promulgating is not accurate. But if you want to be selective, you can find articles on the internet that will tell you how dangerous radio is. They happen to be wrong. There are very few of those articles, but if you want to be selective, you can find them. K2KEY, go right ahead, Mel.
This is K2KEY. First of all, let me make sure I'm on the right track. Did you mention previously at one time that you spent some time in an area of Long Island called Farmingdale, Dick, over?
Farmingdale was my hometown from 1956 to, oh, wait a minute now, 1946 to 1956. For a 10-year period of time, Farmingdale was my hometown. Go right ahead.
Okay, back of my mind, I happened to hear Farmingdale mentioned, and so I mentioned it to my brother. I said, do you remember something about Farmingdale? He said, sure, as kids we used to go out to visit some relatives that lived there back, gee, back in the 50s, I guess, maybe approximately the same time as you lived there, but they were there literally from the time it was farming out there. And I says, yeah, whatever happened to them? He says, well, you know, my brother says to me, he says, well, you know, remember the problem that they had? Now, this is funny that this came up, this conversation. He says that they started developing that area back, I guess, in the late 50s or 60s where they were. And after they started putting the developments in there, you may have remembered it, the developments that went in there maybe in the late 50s or so or whatever. They had to put in higher power tension lines on their, right across their property where they had this, well, they originally had like a little farming operation going. And they were living, there were three people that were living there. There were husband and wife and a mother. And they all started complaining that they were getting a metallic taste in their mouth, headaches, sporadic headaches, dizziness and everything. And in desperation, eventually, they did sell out and moved out of Farmingdale, moved to Florida at the time, and all their symptoms disappeared. And they said, see, it was those power, I remember, now I remember the incident. It was the power lines that did it, Dick, over.
Yeah, there's some controversy as to whether or not certain kinds of high tension lines can or cannot create biological effects of the cattle that are underneath or the people that live underneath. There are very, very few circumstances where a high tension line goes directly over a residential house. They almost always have a so-called right of way where the high tension line goes. And the vast majority of high tension power distribution systems are a three-wire system, 120-degree phase shift between the three wires, equal current, and it is a transmission line. Although it doesn't look it to your eye, it is an extremely well-shielded transmission line. By well-shielded, I mean the signal coming out of there, magnetic or electrostatic, is a large number of dB suppressed because of the transmission line characteristic. It is my belief that the vast majority of those situations are reasonably safe to live there. But I'm not as sure on that one as I am about radio. It is very difficult for you and I to get ourselves in trouble with radio. I can take a 3-watt light bulb, press it up against, while it's operating, press it up against my eyelid with my eyelid closed, and I might get enough heat off of that light bulb to heat up the cornea of my eye, and I could potentially give myself a cataract. So if you put a light bulb directly in contact with your eye, you could possibly do damage. I could do that with a high-power flashlight also, if I held it there long enough. By the same token, if I take a piece of waveguide, let me drop, operating at a microwave frequency, I open up the waveguide and put my eye right at the end of the waveguide, as if it was the rifle of a gun, and I stay there for 10 minutes, I can potentially create eye damage. Yes, radio under those circumstances, or if you take that urban myth where somebody supposedly took a small poodle dog and put them in a microwave oven to dry them out after giving the dog a bath. If that incident really took place, without a doubt, in that highly concentrated situation, you could do damage, thermal damage. But none of us with any conscience are going to do an act like that. A person who climbed that water tower in Bayville and walked up to those antennas, unless he put his eye against the antenna in physical contact while it's transmitting, he would not create a dangerous condition to his body. If he's directly on top of the water tower, 5 or 10 feet away from those antennas, he would be safe by the American standard. It's a 30-watt light bulb. Tell that to the residents, and of course it sounds crazy. Those antennas look massive. On top of the water tower, the one place in the town that's high enough property that begins to give you good radio ranging, radio reception. Wait, there's not as many dropout zones. Let me drop. The consulting report that was highly paid for, the so-called PARC report, P-A-R-C, that was done for Bayville Town, indicates that law enforcement does not have complete coverage in the town. More antennas are required. The microwave link is required to communicate back to the headquarters. Right now, headquarters communication takes place by way of the phone line. The phone line can become unreliable if there's a flood in the town. They need other communication. They need other antennas. the couple of watts that would have been in the microwave dish had it been permitted would increase the amount of communication coverage and reliability. The microwave dish is 5 or 10 times safer than the other antennas, but because of the word microwave and radiation and the emotional attachment of those words, it will not be permitted. This is wrong. Education is required, but don't expect immediate success. It's going to be a very slow educational process. I hope I'm wrong. My understanding of human nature, when it comes to a massive group of people who have convinced themselves that they are defending themselves from the outside world and from their own village government, it's going to take some time. They mean well. They believe they're protecting themselves and their children, mostly their children. I'm a little bit afraid that some of the people have stopped sending their children to that school and are sending them to private schools because they believe the condition is so dangerous. They're very, very wrong. It is a erroneous myth. A lot of grief is taking place. A lot of money is being wasted. A lot of nervous energy is being wasted. And it is an error. I hope we radio savvy people can slowly educate that particular population. It's going to take time. Like any other prejudicial opinion, it may take more than a generation once something like this has gotten started. Anybody else with any further questions or comments or suggestions? Give me your call letters. K2LIW on the TechNet.
M2EO, Dick.
Okay, yeah. Rich and then Mel in that order. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, you take a more laid-back approach. I think you have to be more aggressive. I think education definitely, but I really think if the police don't have the coverage, it's dangerous to the police. I think the police union, the PBA out there, and the government in Bayville ought to turn around and start individually suing every town, every person who has got property in that town, individually or collectively, start suing them for damages.
That's a little bit extreme. However, if I was a law enforcement person scheduled to patrol in the town of Bayville, if I want to protect my person, I would have to memorize the places in the town where the radio coverage is inadequate. I would have to know that my life would be at considerably increased risk if I pulled over an automobile in those dead zones. The most important thing to a policeman when he pulls over an automobile because the person was driving erratically or whatever, if he gets on the radio, talks to his headquarters and said, I just pulled over Toyota 1989, license plate so-and-so, and I'm located at the cross street of such-and-such. He must report that information before he climbs out of his vehicle. In that way, the headquarters knows where he is, when he is, what he is doing, and if they don't hear from him again in the next 3 minutes, they know they better send some kind of backup. He needs that radio communication. When law enforcement loses radio communication, they lose all confidence. That's what happened in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. The radio system for law enforcement failed. Let me drop. The law enforcement people, the patrolmen on the beat, on the streets, in New Orleans, abandoned their post because the radio wasn't working. They couldn't ask for backup and help when they needed it. They abandoned their post, they abandoned their town. In some cases, they abandoned their state. And you couldn't stop them from doing that. From their point of view, their life is more valuable than to have a failed radio to put it at such risk. K2KEY, go right ahead, Mel. K2LIW.
Okay, this is K2KEY. I was just going to ask you if you were familiar with what went on there in, in Farmingdale when you lived there, being that you were there at approximately the same time. I asked my brother. He said they lived on, he looked up in his book, he has an address book, they lived on Crestwood Boulevard, Dick. Is that familiar to you? Over.
I lived in South Farmingdale. I delivered newspapers, but I don't remember Crestwood. I lived on Yoakum Avenue, very near Main Street, in South Farmingdale. Back to you, Mel.
Hey, I thought maybe you were familiar with what the problem was there, that they, because according to what my brother, I called him, I asked him where they lived in Farmingdale, they gave me the location. And he says, yeah, he says, I remember my parents went down to Florida to visit with them, and they said, oh, there was an exodus from that location around Crestwood Boulevard, because a number of people were complaining about the similar problem, and that they had sent down people from the state, from the city, the state, or whatever, couldn't find anything wrong, yet there were people that seemed to have legitimate complaints, and when they moved, they found that their problem seemed to disappear, whether, you know, it's psychological or whatever. But I thought possibly you had some first-hand knowledge of it, being that you lived there approximately around the same time, Dick, over.
Comment?
No, that one, comment I'll pick you up in a minute. That one I didn't hear, don't know about it. But when it comes to psychosomatic illnesses, which at times can feel very real, those people in France, in that report that I just read you, out of the latest issue of IEEE Antennas and Propagation Magazine, the June issue, page 150, what the heck was it? That particular article talks about people in that apartment building, page 152, got nosebleeds and a taste of metallic taste in their mouth from the radiation from those cell phone base stations. And they were putting tinfoil on the windows of the apartment buildings on the side that faced the cell phone base station, and using other protective measures, because they knew that those nosebleeds and metallic taste was coming from that cell phone base station. And after the lawsuit was won and they were ordered to remove it, they found out that there were no antennas on it yet. It had never been turned on. I'll go ahead with comments. Start off with your name. Is that Tony? K2RIW.
Yes, K2RIW. Whiskey, whiskey to whiskey. I think you have to approach this with humor. You said don't make fun of the people there, but you need to send a flyer out or something where it says, people of Bayville, do not breathe. Oxygenation can cause eventual death. You know, I mean, the free radicals can cause cancer. And put a whole thing there on how to, you know, how to breathe as little as possible, teach your children not to breathe in too quickly, and they shouldn't ride a bike because it's going to increase their breathing rate. And at the bottom, you could put something, put a website or something, and lead them to information about, I don't know, let's, you could call it something else. Call it ether waving, calm waves, or info waving instead of radiation. And then at the very bottom, guess what? It's radio. And, you know, like you said, the other gentleman said, let them be liable for people who were not rescued, people who couldn't call 911, and that they're liable for loss of life and damages. And you know, the Constitution, I believe, says that the government is supposed to, you know, not cause loss of life and limb. But they feel that that clashes with them being hit by waves. I don't know. So, like you said, you have to. I think you have to use a bit of humor to get at them. I mean, you could post stuff on their door that says, you know, signed Luther, you know, welcome to the 21st century or something, with some information there. Yeah, so you have to snap them out of it, I guess. K2RW, whiskey, whiskey to whiskey.
And so we owe, Dick.
This is Y.O.
Bernie, Y.O. after Rich. You've got a suggestion, Tony. I'm not in agreement with your suggestion. Put yourself in the shoes of the person living in the town who has heard a lot of residents of the town all have a common opinion. When you hear an opinion often enough, said with enough fervor by enough people who you previously trusted as your friend, you come to believe it. It becomes a mass, hysteria is not the right word, but a mass belief. Put yourself in the shoes of a person who has come to believe that radio is dangerous and that their children must be protected. And if you make jokes about it, if you put yourself in their shoes, you realize that that's not going to increase acceptance. It's going to increase rejection of what the outside world opinion is. I think the residents of the town have psychologically circled the wagons and they are now protecting themselves from these outside agencies. The Department of Homeland Security has investigated the amount of intercommunication between the various protection services on Long Island in the New York metro area and come to the strong conclusion that the amount of communication and inter-service communication is far inadequate. We're getting a poor report card. They are saying more antennas and better designed, more radio systems must be installed to avoid and properly control a situation like 9/11. 9/11 is a beautiful example of how the individual services could not talk to each other. Therefore, the order to go out to abandon the building because it's about to collapse, the majority of those victims did not get that message because of a lack of radio equipment. Lots of improvement is required. I guess it was Rich and then YO in that order. Rich, go ahead.
Okay, Dick. I think a lot of this got started in the 70s. There was a book called The Zapping of America by a guy named Paul Broder. I never read the book, I'll admit that, but I know it's garbage. And the reason I know it's garbage is because the cover of the book shows in the foreground children playing on a swing set. And in the background is a large, humongous microwave tower. Now, anyone with microwave experience knows that foreground with the children is probably the safest place to be because the microwave antenna, which is 50, 60, 70, 80 feet in the air, has a pencil point beam width. They're not anywhere in the beam width of that. Probably if you look through the field strength meter at the swing set, you see zero. So it's just garbage. And I think that's what that, a lot of these books, like Paul Broder's book, Zapping of America, really fostered a lot of these beliefs. I think that's where the seeds were sown. And like I said before, I think not only police, fire, all the emergency services have to get together and say, look, we don't have the coverage, and start suing the residents of the town. Sue them until they drop. That's really where it's at. What concerns me, Dick, is eventually some ham is going to get hit with a lawsuit when his neighbor develops cancer, or worst case, two people in the house develop cancer, which can happen anyway. They're going to blame it on the ham with the big tower. Back to that, N2EL.
And to yourself.
UFL recognized, and you're after YO. The Paul Broder book. I've talked to Paul Broder. He is a rather respected writer for the New Yorker magazine. He gathered a whole bunch of anecdotal information. In other words, wherever there were reports of possible radio damage to human beings, he gathered those articles, put them all in one place. He thought he was doing a good investigating, reporting situation. I forget what the original title of the book was, but his book publisher told him that we will sell a lot more books if we give the title an exciting sounding front cover. They came up with the word The Zapping of America. Paul Broder wrote a subsequent book about the potential danger of high tension power lines. Again, his publisher wanted to give it an exciting sounding cover, and it became renamed Current of Death. Both of those titles were not the original titles. Paul is a non-technical person who meant well. He's an investigative reporter. He gathered information. He told you what his sources are. And because it was selective in the way it was gathered, by normal investigating purposes, it was not a good report. But he meant well. He's a sincere guy. He didn't intend to write garbage, even though some people have thought. I mean, his books have been discredited since then because of the method by which they did the reporting. It wasn't done sufficiently objectively. K2IO, I think that's Bernie. Go right ahead, Bernie. K2RIW.
Good evening, Dick and Lynette. Bernie, K2IO. A couple of thoughts come to mind.
According to the Village of Bayville's website, their police service comes from Nassau County. Therefore, anything that the Bayville courts do cannot stop Nassau County from performing their county functions. In the domain means that Nassau County can just come in and put an antenna right in the middle of their village. Number two, if they did get a county ordinance that they couldn't have antennas, the city couldn't have antennas in Bayville, they'll just ring Bayville with antennas. I live in a village where we don't have cell phone antennas, but there's cell phone antennas all the way around our village, so therefore there are cell phones, serious cell phone service. So I seriously doubt they're going to be able to get to a court that will give them the injunction to stop the public services, the police, fire, etc. And also, it just gets higher and higher. At some point, if it gets to federal court will stop the suit. If there is not an injunction, a precedent, the federal court can't sue over this. So, to some degree, maybe we should say, doesn't the Village of Bayville have the right to do this if they choose to? We don't agree with it. They may decide they don't want pink houses. Make the city can't take the senior house tank. That's fine. If everybody in the village decides that, they can illegally decide that. So maybe to some degree we want to let them fight their fight and see how it comes out. Just a thought, Casey Wiley.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Bernie. Bernie, by the way, your signal is quite noisy tonight. Either the antenna's not in the right direction or you're in a lower power than normal. So quite a bit of noise, but yes, I think you're saying they don't have as much control of their village as they think they do. They're really part of the county of Nassau and the township of Oyster Bay. I think an awful lot of money is being spent. I think it's being wasted. If the same amount of money being spent on legal fees was being spent to put up a brand new tower in some location that the residents considered a safer location, it would be a futile effort, but at least it would give them a feeling of comfort and control. They think that the students at the school are at risk because of the nearby antennas. I know this is not true, but it's going to take an awful lot of education, an awful lot of shift of opinion before a greater reality is going to be realized. This erroneous myth that has gotten started is quite far out of control by my standards. Mr. UFL, give us the full call and your name, sir. K2LIW, my name is Dick.
Comment?
I did hear somebody called UFL. Are you still there, sir? Maybe not. Mr. Comment, give us your call letters and name and then proceed. My name is Dick.
This is KC2MIQ from Riverhead, Long Island. Name's Charlie. This is for Bayville. I have a wireless pacemaker and defibrillator that can be programmed from 50 feet away. I have been on the air for approximately, since 1976. I presently have thousands and thousands of hours of radio communication. My wireless defibrillator is absolutely running in perfect condition with no problems. The second comment is that I wonder whether the people of Bayville know that their vegetables are being radiated to kill bacteria, not the ones that grow on Long Island, but the vegetables that are imported, like carrots and broccoli and all of those items that we get from overseas, well, not overseas, from South America. KC2, MIQ, back to net control.
Very fine, Charlie. Charlie's coming in by the eastern input, 147.375. Beautiful sounding signal, Charlie. And you're another example of people who recognizes the benefit of radio. And so we have to pass that opinion onto the residents of Bayville. They're going to have to eventually accept it because the effort they're involved in, I believe, is a futile effort, an expensive effort. It's going to create a lot of anguish. they're not going to be allowed, all of these various agencies will not allow them to accomplish the goal that they have. So therefore, they've got to rethink the situation. When it comes to irradiated food and similar things, there is a certain risk factor of everything we do in life. You get out of bed in the morning, you're taking a risk. You climb into an automobile. You turn on a light. You take a shower or a bath. Every one of these things have risk. And we feel each one of those things are safe because we've done it so frequently. And every one of those situations, you have to look at the risk-benefit ratio. If you attempt to live a life of zero risk everywhere, you're going to be frustrated. It is not possible. If you want to be philosophical about it, when it comes to living, you can say you ain't going to get out of this one alive. But that's a little bit extreme. But you know what I'm saying. There's a risk in everything. If you demand that everything that comes in contact with you be done with zero risk, you will do nothing. You will not be allowed to do anything. You will not have the ability to do anything. We're in the 21st century. We have a lot of technology that's giving us a lot of benefit. It gives us a little bit of grief. We slowly find out where the grief is, and we correct that. If you insist on living a simple agrarian life, you have to do it in another part of the country. You can't do it any longer in a metropolitan area like Long Island or near the five boroughs of New York City. It's just not possible anymore. That's a different lifestyle, and as one philosopher said, an intelligent man tries to adapt himself to the environment. An unintelligent man tries to adapt the environment to himself. Therefore, all progress takes place by an unintelligent man. But you have to go with the flow. Technology for the 21st century is here. Cell phones are here, and they're a reality. They save an awful lot of lives. They create a little bit of grief because people make the mistake of using a cell phone while they're driving and get involved in an emotional conversation. Or they try text messaging while driving. Very dangerous procedures and shouldn't be done. So yes, there's some disadvantage. But if you had an accident on the road and somebody calls it on a cell phone, in theory, emergency services are rolling toward you in approximately 1 minute or so. You try to do it by any other means. You go driving down to the nearest fire station and you knock on the door and you say, hey, these people need help. You'll get no action most of the time because the dispatching does not take place from there. So you gotta have cell phones. Even if you try to drive to a payphone these days, they don't exist anymore for the most part. You knock on somebody's door to say, I want to use your telephone to call emergency services. There's a high probability the person will not open the door to a stranger. A cell phone is a safety item. You have to accept that. And the safety item does not work well without cell phone base stations. The cell phone base stations have to be distributed everywhere. There are people up in arms because of the microcell sites that are now being installed in certain places, in metro areas, for instance, on top of utility poles. And people are coming to the conclusion that, gee, the top of that utility pole, using that microcell site running at a smaller power, covering a smaller range, is right outside my office window, and I'm being irradiated. You can easily come to that opinion. Look at it. In the case of a microsite, it probably is a 3-watt light bulb. The heating you'll get from it is equal to a 3-watt light bulb at that distance. Is that dangerous? If you think so, don't use the light bulbs and don't go out in the sun. Education is required. It's going to take time. The people really believe they're defending themselves. They really are sincere in their effort to protect their children. That's a worthwhile goal. The problem is that a myth got started, a myth got propagated. Repeater,
time out.
The propagation of the myth is such that it fell on fertile soil. It had the ring of sincerity. It had the ring of accuracy to it, the myth. That look at those antennas and look at those cancers, that must have caused it. It has the ring of myth, but that is circumstantial, highly circumstantial. Very difficult to figure out why a person got cancer. There's a darn many causative agents, like the water that they drank, the food that they ate, the lifestyle that they lived, and so on. So that's an unfair accusation. We people understand radio. That's how we got into this hobby. We stand a chance of slowly, diplomatically, educating people. the residents of Bayville. Education is required. Don't belittle them, please. They mean well. To make jokes about it, this is not a joking matter to them. From their point of view, this is life and death, because their friends have died from what they believe is this causative agent. I don't think we can make jokes about that. It will not be accepted. Put yourself in their shoes. Make believe you are a person with some form of prejudicial opinion. People of this faith shouldn't walk the same earth with me. People of this color shouldn't walk the same earth with me. And if you heard that generation after generation, that education from your particular family, it would take an awful lot of gumption to have the opposite opinion, to re-educate yourself. That's the way human prejudice works. That's the way human opinions work. It's going to take time. They need help. That's an opinion, a strongly felt opinion. I'm hoping someday in the future I will not be a persona non grata in that town. I now am, because I have an opinion that is adverse. The other hams that I know who have left that town and recontact their relatives and neighbors are not allowed to express that opinion, that the radio is safe. That's unfortunate. I hope we can correct this. It's going to take time. Anybody with any further questions or comments, give me a call. It was K2RIW listening.
WDK7EW with another comment.
Okay, Howie, who was the other person I heard?
KC2OJO, Howard.
Oh, we got two Howards, OJO and Howie first. Howie first, go right ahead.
Yeah, you know what's going to have to happen, Dick? These people are going to have to confront their own situation. Do they want to stop using their cell phones? Are they going to want to have the police? They're going to get their way probably, and then they're going to go through, you know, catharsis where they're going to have to confront it. Right now, these people, a lot of people are angry at the U.S. government. They don't believe our government. They don't believe 9/11. They don't know what to believe, Dick. You're being very simplistic. It's going to take, they're going to have to confront their own prejudice, their own misunderstandings. And you know what? Look at what's happening now with texting and cars. They want to outlaw all kinds of communications because people, I don't know, they're not happy with technology. You know what the decision is? But they're going to have to make a choice. Do they want to go back to the 18th century? Is that what society wants? I don't want to go back to the 18th century. But you know what? There are a lot of people out there that are not happy with our way of life. K4IW. WDKHWW.
Well, you made it sound, Howie, like you think they wouldn't give up cell phones. Their feeling on this subject is strong enough, and they are sincere enough, that a substantial number of people in the town will not turn on their cell phone when the child is nearby. They will not use their laptop computer with a PCMCIA card in it when the child is in the house. They have given up their microwave ovens, they have given up their cell phones most of the time, particularly when the children are around, and they've given up using their laptop computers. They are that sincere. They're not kidding. They really believe it's going to take time for this re-education. We cannot expect immediate results in this quest to correct this erroneous myth that has gotten started. We have to have compassion in this one. They are sincere. They are protecting their children, and they're protecting their lives. Now, the people in Greenlawn, they're a little swifter. Howard, KC2OJO, tell me how the people in Greenlawn would handle this one. K2RIW, you got it. Howard number two.
Dick, I'm kind of curious about another approach, which sounds almost opposite. But I would imagine that with all the transmitters on the island, television, radio, radar, Wi-Fi, cell phone, and everything that's around us, that you probably couldn't tell the difference when the transmitter on top of that tower goes on and off with a field strength meter that's not tuned to that exact frequency. I think probably, I don't want to make the people get more agitated, but I think the tower, if they realize it, might be immaterial regardless of the inverse square law. I wonder what your opinion is on that.
Good question, Howard. First of all, I went there with a radiation hazard meter that is sensitive to 1 microwatt per square centimeter. The current most conservative standard of the American National Standards Institute is 1 milliwatt per square centimeter for a 6-minute period of time. That is the current standard at the most risky frequencies, 30 to 300 megacycles, 1 milliwatt. So I was using instrumentation that was 30 decibels, 1,000 to 1 more sensitive. And I wasn't able to measure a signal when I stood in front of that water tower right by that schoolyard. So I know from real measurement it's safe. At first I thought, gee, my machine is not working correctly. I keyed the transmitter in my automobile, transmitted out of the 5/8 wave ground plane antenna, and saw the proper radiation signal registered on the radiation hazard meter. The meter was working. It registered my ham radio because I was a couple of feet away from it. But I could not measure at that school location that signal. I know it's safe. Now, there are many people, let me drop, who will assume that everything adds by some mysterious process. Without a doubt, we've got lots of broadcast transmitters, AM, FM, television. We've got lots of cell phone towers. We've got lots of police, fire, emergency services, taxi cab, dispatching for oil delivery. We got lots and lots of radios, and it's increasing all the time. A naive person would say, wow, I am doomed to die from all this radio radiation, all of those signals from all of those hundreds or thousands of transmitters that are in my environment, in my county with me, are all adding together, and the cumulative effect is going to be terrible. Well, you could come to that conclusion. They're all on different frequencies. They do not add in a voltage manner. They add in a power manner. They're not all on the air simultaneously. Your emergency services typically make a transmission for 10 seconds. Yes, the broadcast transmitter is on the air 24 hours a day, but it's a directed...
Tonight at 8 o'clock.
It's a directed antenna pattern, a pancake-shaped antenna pattern aimed at the horizon, and it's from a tower a couple of hundred feet or more tall. You can't get under that umbrella and get into that antenna pattern, if you know what I mean. So therefore, what I'm getting at is you've got lots of transmitters around, and you would think naively that all the effect is accumulative. It is not. Each one of those individual transmitters, by all of the federal and other laws that exist, is safe for human beings in the way it's being used. Yes, if you climb the radio tower of a television broadcast station, and you located yourself a couple of feet away from that antenna, which is transmitting thousands of watts, yes, you would be at the threshold of risk. It takes a comedy of errors to get yourself into that much trouble. No rational person's going to do that. I can tell you with strong feeling and a lot of 35 years of experience and history where I have given court testimony on radio frequency biohazards, on a number of military programs, on the B-1B bomber program and the EA-6 Navy transmitter program, I have made studies and pronouncements with reference to radio frequency biohazard. Been there, done that. I think I have a pretty strong understanding of what is and what is not safe. And these commercially available transmitting devices that we all have access to are extremely safe. Maybe I'm a little bit off to one side of what you were saying, Howard. KC2OJO, K2RIW.
Dick, now I was looking at it from a completely different point of view. I have no argument about the safety. I'm convinced that there's no safety problem. What I'm saying, or was attempting to say, is that I would suspect that the signal from that tower looked at on the ground was actually smaller, if you had sensitive enough equipment to see that signal, actually smaller than what might be naturally in the air all the way around. And those people are really chasing their own tails. Not only is it safe, but that the tower they're trying to eliminate, that may be in the noise. In other words, if you couldn't sense it with 1 microwatt per centimeter square, I'm saying that there were probably other signals there from the background that would have been bigger anyway, and that they're wasting their time.
I see where you're going, Howard, but the answer is no. When you stand 200